Welcome back. You're listening to the Healthy Aging Show, and we are talking with Dr. Betty Ann Robustelli from Stanford Anesthesia Associates, and we're talking about those people that put you to sleep and bring you back after a marvelous operation.
I have a question regarding the types, because in my research, we have general, regional, and local.
So sounds like a train.
Sounds like the Northeast. So what does this mean in layman English?
Layman's term. General anesthesia is when you are totally asleep and unconscious.
That's John most of the time.
That's actually me when I'm asleep at night.
And we really take over a lot of your bodily functions. You're on a respirator.
Oh.
Or breathing for you.
They won't take over your brain.
Right.
Don't worry.
Right.
You know, even though I think you left it there sometimes.
But you were really...
Kidding. I'm kidding.
No, but we had this discussion yesterday. We'll come back to that of anesthesia of old.
Okay.
Yeah, really. It's a good story. Anyway, so you take over our breathing at that point.
Right. It's really just a totally unconscious state that you will have no awareness of the operative time. So that's really what general anesthesia is. Regional anesthesia is where the part of the body that is being operated on is anesthetized. So if you're having surgery on your leg will be anesthetized, or your arm. So certain surgeries are amenable to that and certain are not. And then local anesthesia is really sort of when you go to the dentist's office. That's the best example. Or they'll do small procedures where the surgeon is really working alone. There's usually not an anesthesiologist there. And they inject local anesthesia where they're working because it's usually something small that doesn't really need any systemic medication to make you relaxed or be asleep.
If you're getting stitches in the emergency room.
Right. That's considered local.
Which I've had experience with that.
Yeah, right. You've been a repeat offender down in Greenwich. They know you on a first name basis. All right, but still that Novocaine local at the dentist office. See, I get gas when I go to the dentist office because I'm a pain. So I'm a very large.
Oh,
chicken.
Okay. Now I understand what you're saying.
I know they have to give me the. I know. Can you edit that out so it doesn't sound bad? They give me whatever that happy gas stuff is.
The laughing gas.
Yeah, they have the I don't care gas. It's like, okay, fine. I'm really afraid of the dentist. I'm sorry.
Well, he's afraid of you too.
I'm sure he is.
You know, everybody has their favorite doctors, and I'm sure the doctors have their favorite patients.
Right.
But with the general, there's certain ways that you layer us through that, right? As far as are there different applications as far as to relax us and before we get completely out? What's the mixture that makes that
there's
happen?
Different stages of the anesthetic. Initially, there'll be an anxiolytic will be given to really kind of just reduce the anxiety and to help people just be a little more calm. Sometimes we'll do that before they come into the operating room. If it's very frightening for someone to come into the operating room. Or some people are okay with that, and we start that once they're in the operating room. That's usually given intravenously. And then all their monitors are put on. We'll also give anti-nausea medicines because nausea and vomiting is a big problem with anesthesia. And then we will slowly induce the general anesthetic. Propofol has gotten the big notoriety with Michael Jackson, but that's a very big anesthetic drug that we use all the time to really put you to sleep.
Administered in the right setting by
the right
people.
Yes, it's a very safe drug if it's done like that.
Right.
With full disclosure.
Most things are.
Right. And then the operative procedure will begin. And you're monitored the whole time. There's anesthesiologists with you for every minute that you're in the operating room. And you do have to make all different types of adjustments. You're usually kept asleep with the inhalational gases. Pain medication is given throughout the procedure.
Oh.
Because there's various stimuli of when they start to operate and when they near the end and the metabolism of the drugs depending on how long the surgery is. So there's medication given throughout the procedure. And there's also medication given to really, some people don't tolerate the anesthesia. Their blood pressure is an issue. If they have diabetes, monitoring their sugar, various things to increase the work of their heart. So there's a lot of things that go on that you sort of to keep that person kind of in a neutral playing field.
Okay.
So that's really kind of what goes on. And then when the surgical procedure is finished, the anesthesia is slowly withdrawn and the body metabolizes it. And then you will wake up when the body has metabolized the drugs.
Now, in addition to letting you know about the drugs that we've been taking as far as prescriptions and things, nutrition-wise and hydration and things like that, are there things that the patient would do prior to a surgery to accommodate what's going to be happening with their body? We know some drugs you're not supposed to take, but should we perhaps stop smoking? Should we make sure that we are well hydrated, get rest? I mean, are there some...
You know, smoking's always...
I've read smoking is an issue. Why is smoking an issue?
Because you're at much higher risk for infections, because it really affects the whole immune system. And so you're much higher risk for infections. infection, especially pulmonary complications. I mean, their lungs are really damaged with any degree of smoking, and their risk for pneumonia is so much higher after any anesthetic. And even their wound healing, the nicotine is really bad for the blood supply to an area. It reduces the blood flow, so, and that's very important for wound healing. So even nicotine patches are not great either, because again, it's still giving the nicotine to the body that vasoconstricts the blood vessels that are needed to help with wound healing. So, and you know, it's really, I mean, it's great if you can stop 2 weeks before, at least.
You know, when I read that, if you can stop 2 weeks before surgery, and why can't you stop? I mean, that should be
right,
it. Because
right.
As a non-smoker, or as a former smoker, and you are a former smoker.
You had to tell everyone that as well.
Well, if I didn't, you would. But going through those first several weeks are the most traumatic, and your body changes the most dramatically during that while it's purging itself of all that junk. And if you can do that, then you should be off the stuff forever. But the long-term effects of what you've just described don't go away a week before surgery.
Right. I mean, not the effect on the lungs per se. I mean, the damage that's been done, you know, leading to emphysema and things like that do not reverse. But really, even just abstaining from a week to have the nicotine out of the system is very helpful. And it really does, they say, will reduce the risk of pneumonia by even just stopping a week to 2 weeks beforehand. The body really does start to regenerate relatively quickly. Very helpful.
All the more reason to stop smoking.
Right. That's encouraging. I did also read that if you actually engage your team and let them know that you want to quit smoking while you're in the hospital, that having been through a procedure, once again, you're quite clean and you don't have any residue in your body, it's a nice way to launch out. So that's one time that if you're in for a few days with the hospital that you have a really good base to begin.
That's an interesting approach.
I thought so too.
Because you can't smoke in the hospital. So
you can't smoke any place.
Right.
I mean, so give it up.
Well, I am opinionated, but I do not like it around. I don't like when I'm approaching a hospital environment and people are smoking.
Okay, we're going to take another break because I think it's time. We will be right back. We're talking with Dr. Betty Ann Robustelli about anesthesia. Be right back.